All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green and Possible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'm joined by three of my best friends, three great players, including one who's ripping raring to go. I can just tell. It's Dace. Dace playing.
Howdy. Howdy.
You seem unusually energized all of a sudden. What did you do when you just stepped off camera there for a moment?
What? I put on my excitement cap.
Ah. It's full of cocaine.
It's working.
It's actually got minuscule needles that puncture directly into my scalp and injects the drugs right to the
dome.
That's
the best way to do it.
Right.
I'm told.
And that, of course, is my good friend who knows way more about, like, intradermal cocaine than I thought he did, Brad. Playing
Hello.
Hank.
Colombian marching powder.
Oh, is what it goes by where he's from. And of course, someone who has definitely never gotten involved with international drug smuggling, our good friend Jean, playing Benedict.
Hello.
Hello, Jean.
And you can't Jean hear me seething, can you?
Is that you seething? What was that you said? That Jean is actually in the same country for once.
Yep.
You know, it's...
What were y'all saying when I walked up? Is like, he burned off his fingertips?
That was it. That was exactly what I was saying about was entering the country. Burning off my fingertips.
Was a spy.
No. It was too dry.
Smart.
Okay, I didn't put moisturizers on my hands and my fingertips weren't working on the scanners. Okay, and I got a little nervous. And the guy kept telling me to relax.
I'm sure that's what you told him.
And I just tried to relax even harder, and it wasn't working.
You're sweating too much, sir. She's like water coming out of his sleeves.
It's like that
Key and Peele sketch.
Yeah.
It's coming out of his arm sleeves.
They're just like, they have a towel there, and they just keep wiping off the sensor thing so that Jean can try to get through customs. Oh, God. Guys, I have something that you're not expecting. That I would like to talk about here real quick.
Oh no!
So we're gonna do something we haven't done for a while. I'm gonna give a bit of a shout out to one of our patrons, a good guy by the name of Nathan, who has his own little podcast, called RPG Reanimators.
Cool.
Who I've been listening to a lot. They have this fascinating model where they kind of like. Pick apart like Delta Green and Call of Cthulhu games and talk about the things they do to breathe life back into an operation or an adventure that's, you know, that's kind of had a lot of rung out of it.
Which, let's admit, ours has been pretty stale for a pretty long time.
Right. And so I think we all agree we could use Nathan and his crew. But the reason it came up was because we had been talking about, you know, we're here at the end of Impossible Landscapes, guys, like we're getting close. What are we going to do? And we were talking about, you know, the idea of running like a full-blown Delta Green campaign, starting at the earliest chronological operation into, and then going all the way through them. And that would start with an operation called, Puppet Masters and Shadow Plays, I think is what it's called.
Cool.
And which they had done this talk about it, and I listened to it. So first and foremost, you guys don't go and listen to it. Don't go and listen
okay.
to
Aww.
It.
I was literally about to ask you to repeat the name so I could go.
Too late. I'm halfway through the Wikipedia right now.
Just got us so excited.
Right. Well, but the reason I bring it up is because one of the things that they had said, I was corresponding with Nathan, who's one of the, I think one of the founders, or definitely one of the members of this podcast that they do. And he had said, I would love to hear from you guys. Maybe once you guys finish Impossible Landscapes, we could talk to you about what it was like. It's like, boy, howdy, would that be an interesting thing? Because
that's cool.
There's a good bit in our game that is not a lot, but there's parts that are very unique to our experience, like blowing up Anton Tour in Music from a Darkened Room. And I definitely would encourage you, they do have an episode where they go through and reanimate Music from a Darkened Room. You three should definitely listen to that.
Oh, okay.
Because you've played through it.
Yep.
It's very good.
I'll check that one out.
But yeah, I just thought that'd be cool. Like, what do you guys think about that? Like, to be able to talk to other people about just the experience of going through impossible landscapes as a player.
Yes.
First off, the bat, I'm impressed at how insanely niche this podcast is. Like, we thought ours was niche already, and it's a niche of, you know, the bigger RPG community, but this is like a discussion about that already.
So these guys,
tiny RPG.
That's the GM, whole show.
A GM like focused or directed.
Okay.
Like,
so they just go through different, the technical term, not a manual,
like operations modules,
and
whatever.
Just talk about stuff they've done, essentially. When they've had, well, and
stuff that from them running it or from them playing it, really fascinating. And the thing is, they're really well they're really measured. I think they've got a really good idea about what they're doing. And the big thing is, like, how do we measure having fun with making something interesting, making a cool story? I think their kind of philosophy kind of falls in line with ours, honestly.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean,
yeah,
it would be cool.
Hell yes.
Like I said, I'd like to do like a more extended discussion about this when it's done, and that could be another like little breather if we met up with them before starting.
Yeah, I've got some notes
newer.
Oh, Jean.
So we have to find someone and blow them up in a coffin before this is over with.
Right, before this is all over. And I'm gonna be honest, you guys need to get cooking. Like, you're running out of time to blow up a coffin.
So you've played with us for years now. How many episodes would you guess that we have left in Impossible Landscapes?
One.
One. Half a session. This is it.
Ooh.
No, I would say we are at episode... I think we are currently about to try to record episode 11? Question mark? We're about to record episode... This is episode 11 or 12. I'm not sure right now.
Of chapter 4?
Yeah, of chapter 4. I mean, I would say... I would not be surprised if you guys... If it was somewhere between 3 to 6.
Hmm. Oh, shit.
That's...
I didn't realize it was
close.
Imminent.
Wait, 3 to 6 episodes?
Mm.
Yeah, I think so.
What the
hell?
Oh,
I'm scared now. I'm extra scared now.
Maybe I shouldn't have told you.
I didn't want this... Wait, can I ask
In my mind, I was like thinking like the palace would be a whole nother like Broad Alvin hotel situation.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking more like 20 to 30 range.
Oh, I
don't
know. It's going to be not like that. You know, but here's the thing. So that's what I think of. Yeah, so that's what would make sense. 3 to 6. You guys will probably do another 10.
Challenge accepted.
Sounds like us. Right. Yep. Yep.
It really squeeze it out.
Really got to chew the scenery on this. On these last few.
It's going to be like the first chapter of War and Peace, where he's just describing the drapery on the walls.
Drier. More detail.
We're going to get paid by the word on this. It's going to be great.
Got to find all the Easter eggs.
Yeah. That's okay, the problem. Is you guys already passed a bunch of the Easter eggs that are necessary to unlock the later Easter eggs.
No.
So I'm sorry. Like, you're not going to be able to do the completionist on this one.
I quick load.
Shit. Just God quick damn load. It, Sean.
Yeah. I quick load.
All characters
into
turn
new
the
area.
Guns to their heads and blow their heads off. To the next
what
check
now,
previous
GM?
Checkpoint.
Just like, and like splashed across the screen. Wasted.
Wasted.
You're dead.
Yeah. All right.
Say their name one more time.
They're RPG Reanimators, I believe, is what they are called. Let me verify real quick. Because I want to, like I said, I really I think they've got something real fun over there. Yep, RPG Reanimators.
In the show notes, I'm sure.
They got like a surgeon kind of as their logo.
Well, like they're kind of, yeah, that's it. Their kind of thing. It's like they're doing an autopsy. That's kind of their theme.
Makes sense.
It's a lot of fun. I think it's
beautiful.
Good. Yeah,
love it.
Well, thanks, Nathan.
Cool.
And
yeah,
we will chat later.
And we love your hot dogs.
God, what great hot dogs!
I'm not
it's
from
a
here.
Hot dogs.
Can you
this
explain?
It's not a minute to your land.
All right. Oh, yeah.
It's a competition we have in the States where this famous hot dog eating where people try to see how fast they can eat hot dogs.
Okay.
It's one of the worst things about our country, honestly.
Definitely top 3.
And we have Nathan to blame for that.
And you know what? You know what? Don't go listen to Nathan's podcast.
Yeah. Boycott hot dogs, too.
Yeah. Well, listen, speaking about things that we're going to avoid from here on out, how about we talk about what happened last time? And going back in our memories and all the traumas we've suffered thus far. How about that?
Wait, are we doing a session or doing Delta
Therapy Green? Session.
A therapy session, John.
It sounded like it.
It's like a weird intervention. But anyway, so last time, guys, Team M-Cell, if you are even still that, whoever you are, these three guys, Hank, Benedict, and Busiak, are here, and they are currently in Ambrose's workshop. You guys went through, you guys escaped to the Broad Albin. You descended into the Whispering Labyrinth, came to Carcosa, to the destroyed city, then to the secret city, then through the war zone into the Silent City, which abuts right up against the palace. But things are not so easy. It's not so easy to go from point A to point B. You guys come to this strange boardwalk. Seems to be a mishmash of nostalgia from different places, different times. Some of it you can relate to, some of you can't. You witness the weird situation at the end of the boardwalk, the little carnival there, and you follow this clockwork child into this mall. Mall that, again, some of it's nostalgic, some of it's foreign or alien, through this place where there's all this different machineries. I believe you guys picked up a toaster, which I'm not sure if you still have or not.
I do.
Benedict still has.
I'm confident I do.
Fascination with toasters. But all these different things, you know, machinery piled up in kind of these odd categories, quote unquote. And you find someone interesting. Ambrose, a name that you have heard previously. And Ambrose tells you, yeah, he's the workman. He's the machinist. He's the craftsman of so much that you have encountered. I think that at least one of you has a rather significant scar in his neck and was kind of like, hey, is this your fault? Like, should I blame you for this? And you kind of come to the conclusion that Ambrose is kind of playing his part here, just like a lot of people. You ask him, yeah, like, we would like to get some costumes, and he helps you fashion these bizarre mechanical clockwork masks that have eyes that move around when you move, and, you know, articulating jaws. For Busiak, he makes this big Burmese mountain dog. For Benedict, he makes a big pigeon with this, like, an extended neck and the head up on top that kind of moves around an odd way, you know, like a jerky bird-like manner. And then, of course, for Hank, he makes a weird alien head, like a gray, you know, like the grays, the alien heads with the big eyes, which I'm sure was a good time for him. And you guys say, yeah, we need to see about getting invitations. And you'd receive this copy of an invitation, but it wasn't an invitation for you. For someone else. I believe it was for De Craig, Ian De Craig. So you have an invitation, but it's not for you. And he tells you, yeah, we can see about getting you one. Just come through the workshop and we'll get you over there. And as you go through the workshop, you guys find yourself in the midst of this building that on rails in the ceiling you can see hundreds of mannequins, all in different states of repair and disorder, but also of dress, and they seem to all be, this seems to be almost like an assembly line for these things. And also in here is a wide array of things that are familiar and often too familiar. And in fact, one of them was uncomfortably familiar. I believe one of them was something for Hank, wasn't it? Was it Hank's apartment? Is that what it was?
I thought it was Annabelle's apartment.
Oh, yes. Yes. Not Annabelle.
Abigail.
Abigail.
Abigail, yes. Abigail's apartment laid out with, you know, where when you guys had arrived there in 1955, with everything marked out, where all this trash, all this refuse that you guys sorted through was supposed to be. And you guys, and at that, Hank went a little bit insane. So, Hank, you went ahead and you took that sanity damage. Do we remember how much that was? Oh, it was 4. It was 4 sanity damage.
And I don't know if it happens before when you go below the breaking point, but I'm like right at the breaking point. 32.
I think you were already at that 32, but here's the thing, Hank. I want you to off to the side somewhere. I want you
no,
to...
No, I mean, I already deducted it, and it left me right on the breaking point.
Last time. Okay.
Of 32.
Okay. We'll do this. Go ahead and put your sanity back to where it was. And I want you to take that 4 sanity, and we're going to put it in that side pile. And don't worry about what it's doing. You know, just know that you have a side pile of sanity damage, and I'm sure it's not going to come all falling around your ears at some time in the future.
Gosh. How long have we been building up this side pile?
I have 6.
It should have been ever since you've been in Carcosa.
Mm. Yeah.
I have definitely not been doing that.
Okay. Well, it should be in the side pile.
It hasn't really happened, though.
Yeah, if you haven't crossed a threshold, then don't worry about it, but you guys should definitely be putting sanity in the side pile for the time being.
All sanity loss.
I just have a note that it hasn't been that many that we've, like, lost.
Right.
Or at least Hank hasn't. I just had a note that I'd lost 7, set 2, so this makes 6.
Are you down at, like, 30-something sanity?
So if I get back what I deducted last time, then I'm at 36, and my breaking point is 32.
Yeah, but just put it in the side pile. Don't worry about it. Don't even look about it. Don't think about it. It's not a big deal. Just have your nice little side pile. And,
all right, well...
I've got 4. I see.
Okay.
In that case, I don't know. Hank is pretty pissed, like, at this dude. Yeah. Like, I think that's what was happening last time, is he's kind of, like, actually had someone to partially blame. And I think it's like, you know, Hank still blames the dude. I'm sure he's come across a lot of shit in his law enforcement days. Like, I didn't know what they were going to do with the gun. I just gave him the gun. You know, stuff like, you know, people that have had, like, you know.
I got you.
And he kind of, he doesn't think this dude's innocent.
I got you. And keep in mind, this man is like, he's like, probably in his 80s, you know, he's bald with like this like puffy kind of crazy looking like Einstein style like white hair, kind of wild out to the sides, and he does have a very kind and gentle disposition about him. And when you guys had talked to him last time, he had really kind of told you, yeah, you know, I whatever the king needs, I make for him and I send it off to the play, you know. And he so that's what you... But, I mean, you tell me what you guys do. So here you are. Hank, you have not recently gone insane. You've got your fresh little pile waiting off to the side. But you guys are standing in this kind of set-up version of Abigail's room. And again, Busiak will not know what this is. But the other two, it's uncanny.
I think Hank's just kind of like walking around this basically set. And he's like, what the hell is this?
To Ambrose?
Yeah, to Ambrose.
Well, I forgot. I only have one old person voice. That's right.
This was an intricate one. I've got the work order right here. Very specific.
Do you have any idea what this is doing to other people? Who lived here?
No one lives here. This is just a mock-up.
But someone did live here. A girl. Abigail.
He kind of looks at the other two of you. Like, kind of like what's up with your guy? Like, is the kind of...
Busiak is like just like, admiring his mask. He's just like... trying to figure out the inner workings of the mechanisms.
Yeah.
This is for the play. I'm not sure what you need, what you mean, Hank.
The play, and he kind of like gets in his face and like points fingers, like, Did you ever ask your master, your king, whatever you call him, what this was doing to other people? What your creations are doing?
I'm just doing my job. This is my part, after all.
You don't get the feeling necessarily that he's like afraid of you, Hank, but he seems confused. Like, to him, this makes all the sense in the world. And your displeasure, you being upset seems weird to him.
Hank, I think he's just under the spell. You remember? These people, they've been through stuff, they've seen things, and they're just delusional about it.
I don't trust him. This is where it all started, and he had something to do with Abigail's missing. He has something to do with this whole facade. And Hank takes the mask and hits him with it.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yes. You strike this man with strike the mask the dude. That you have?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. Busiek.
Oh, shit.
Are you going to... Busiek, after you do that, he's going to be like, "What the fuck, man? What the hell's gotten into you, Hank? Why'd you just hit that old guy?"
I want to do a lot more.
Go ahead, yes.
That's it. He's like, I guess just standing over, and he's not going to kill the dude, but he's pissed.
He's going to hold him back for sure.
I mean, he's not trying to strike him again or anything, but he's like, "Busiek, you have no idea what this man is a part of."
No, you're right. I don't. Well, I mean, what is he, like a mass murderer or something? Like, what the fuck, man?
He's at least responsible for one murder, if she's still alive.
So tell me this. Were you intending to do this person harm, or is Hank kind of just like lashing out?
Hank's kind of lashing out, and he wants to do him harm, but he's not going to do anything else. He's not going to... He wants to, like...
It's like a reality check.
Think about you're not just doing a job. Your job's affecting other people, you know?
Okay, you strike him with this... you strike him with this mask, and as you do, like, you hit him. You hit him in the face, I assume?
Yeah.
He manages to kind of sees it coming a little bit and is able to get us up, but he's old and he's quite small, and you hit him and he does kind of fall back on his butt. And you see that maybe he is, maybe he's bleeding like a little bit from like you kind of like bust his lip a little bit, and the mask is like making now like a really kind of unhealthy sounding clicking sound, as if you've kind of bent something or jarred something loose. He's like, young man, I don't know. You know, he's calling you young man, even though you're in your 60s. You know, he's like in his 80s. He's like, "Young man, I don't know who you think you are, but I haven't done anything. I'm just a craftsman. I'm sorry if what has happened to you, but I assure you, it was none of my doing. This, you know," he like points at like the Abigail's apartment setup. "This was going to happen no matter what. The play will always happen. Your anger can't stop it."
Perhaps
Benedict
right,
will probably, but... Benedict will probably go and like bend down and help him. So I'm very sorry about him. We've been through a lot, you understand?
Yes, I can see that. He kind of eyeballs Busiek's, mannequin bits.
Codpiece.
That are on his body. You know, and you guys are all really rough. You know, you guys have been through a lot. He's like...
Ambrose is...
Well...
Can you point us in the direction of the masquerade? We've got our masks. We needed the invitation and maybe a bit of direction if you can, please. I'm sorry for my friend lashing out there. I'd even be prepared to give you my toaster if it would make you feel any better or smooth things over a little bit. But truly, I'm sorry.
Give me a persuade, because he was going to take you to get invitations. Tell me how you do there.
That's a failure.
Oh, Benedict, hear the face.
Every single time. I'm going to push it. So Okay. Run me through that again.
Good.
You got to roll a d4. Let's see how much willpower you burn.
1d4.
How much willpower you got?
I'm full up, man. I got 9.
Full up.
So I burned 1.
Okay, nice. Just 1.
And then reroll. And so don't fail.
Don't fail.
Success.
Hell yeah.
All right. What do you do to kind of give it that extra? So maybe it looks like he's kind of being like, well, I think it might be time for you to go. You can find the gallery on your own.
No, Ambrose, one moment. Just as I mentioned, I'm sorry. We are sorry. You've done a lot for us already. These masks are magnificent. I don't know where you came up with this, but it reminds me of an old friend I had, Papua New Guinea.
They are quite magnificent, aren't they?
They are. They are. And if it'll make you feel any better, this is a picture of my dearest. It's my dearest love that I lost one day. Her name is Michelle. And I want you to have this picture.
You hand him a...
What?
Okay, no, okay. You give him a picture. Even the picture of Michelle, which I will remind you, this is a picture of Michelle that it was the only photograph that Michelle Van Fitz had in her apartment, which was a single picture of herself just, like, standing, arms down by sides, just, like, plain, like, not smiling, facing the camera. Like, a very... plain, weird, but this is the only photo she had in her own house, so she's obviously doesn't have a lot of friends, family. We will never know why Benedict was into that.
Fell in love with her.
Yeah, well, we'll never know. And you know what? I don't want to know. Well, you know,
we did murder her.
We beat her up.
No,
we didn't murder her.
No, we didn't murder her, did we? Yeah,
I've murdered other people, but not her. I mean, we sent them away.
This is some David Lynch shit. You fall in love with a person that you murdered.
Yes. So,
and then you go ahead.
So you hand him this. He's like, and he hands it to you. His eyes kind of light up, Benedict. He's like, oh, finally, oh. And he's holding the photo in his hand, kind of hand on his chest. He's like, oh, good. Ooh, I was worried about this one. Hold on, come, you know, I have to do something. And he goes to walk off, like, towards other sets that are kind of
guys,
set
I won the game. I'm just telling you right now, I cracked the case wide open, bringing this photo the whole way.
Important prop to him.
Right.
No, I'll tell you what just happened. We just gotta look at how fucking awesome Joe is what just happened.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That rolling with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, well... When you see, and he goes, and you see that very near to this, like, these little sets, this apartment, for instance, is marked out on tape in the floor. Like, there's little corners that kind of mark out the area, the bounds.
Abigail's
of this
or
set,
Michelle's.
Of Abigail's apartment.
Okay.
But right next to it is another one. And again, you guys are probably not terribly happy to see. But, and Busiak, you do know this one.
That's right.
You do know this
one.
Oh, no. This is the one that your buddy Guts, that Gustav, ran into, and you heard banging from behind the door while it was on fire. Yep. It looks a lot different when it's not on fire, to be frank. But you see that over on the corner, or like over on the side, there is like a small, it looks like it's like a cork board with where it looks like, and there's just a big square of tape. And it has a question mark in the middle of it. And it says, photo? Question mark? And he's like, and he walks over. He's like, I didn't know what I was gonna, if I was gonna be able to finish this one. And he takes it and sticks it on the cork board. He's like, oh, thank you. He's like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was worried about delivering on that one. I
don't know where I lost that damn picture originally. Don't worry about it. Oh, listen, you've really saved my bacon. There.
It's the least I can do.
And he kind of looks over at Hank. He's like, well, suppose I could still take you to the gallery if you're still interested in getting that invitation. You could probably get I think there's a wardrobe there as well. You can...
That would
be... mask
is
good, but you'll need some other stuff, too.
That would be helpful.
Wait a second, I know this place.
Do you?
Less than my sword is on fire.
Oh.
And I think Busiak is like a little bit speechless because he, you know, didn't understand the relationship that the other guys had at the first room.
Right.
And now he's going through the same thing. And all of a sudden, it matters.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and that is the thing. These guys have been through a lot. And Busiak doesn't get a lot of the references. But yeah, so, and here's the thing. But this is new to you two as well. Busiak somehow knows Michelle's room. He somehow knows Michelle's apartment. Yep.
That's what I was confused about. So,
yep.
This is Michelle's apartment that's on fire. So that's okay, where we Busiak was in the was a fireman that responded to the fire of the night floor's apartment.
That's right.
Or the yep. artistic residence.
And he lost Guts in the fire. Or Guts got severely injured.
Mm.
Guts and you got separated at
got
one
smoke
point.
Smoke inhalation.
And then Guts... You guys entered the room and the room was too big. And Guts had a bit of a breakdown. A bit of a mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you and Guts actually had to... Guts attacked Busiak. And then Guts eventually threw himself out of a second story window in order to prevent himself from burning to death. And was severely injured.
Yeah, I can imagine nothing good happened here, Busiak.
What do you guys know about the Dorchester?
The McAllister.
That's McAllister.
The McAllister.
Well, that's where this whole shitstorm happened. That apartment back there, we were sent to find out where this girl was at. And somehow got wrapped into... It was a gateway of sorts to... Not this place, but another place similar to this.
Holy shit. That makes a lot of sense. Like I said, I was there when it was burning down. I almost lost a real close friend. We went into this room that we're standing in. And there was just something weird, something off about the space, and he went insane. Tried to attack me, and then he jumped out a window.
Everyone Listen, in this Busiak. Place was strange.
There was... It seems like we've walked on the same paths. And we've had to make choices. And we may have... brought you into this. Unwittingly. But we just have to stick together for now.
Yeah, and Busiak, that thought hadn't even occurred to him. And as you say that, maybe his hand grips a little tighter on his axe hilt. And he kind of narrows his eyes. But he doesn't do or say anything. He's just like...
Well, Hank says, I can think of a couple more people more responsible than us. And Oz, Ambrose
again.
And yeah, now, after having seen this, Busiak is like more leaning more towards Hank's mentality. And he just kind of like shifty-eyed glances over at Ambrose, but
well, look, Ambrose,
we got one way forward, and we got one way to do it, and we only know one person that can make it happen. And that's this old fucker right here.
Yeah, Ambrose, I don't know how much longer I want to stay in your presence in this place.
Well, I'm afraid the feeling is mutual at this point, but you did help me finish out this particular set, so we can go to the Orrery and get you to the gallery.
see the scribe. But
okay.
I have to find my keys.
I have a question. Where
Jesus Christ.
What? Do you still use keys? Ambrose, one last question.
It's a bad neighborhood.
Apparently. It's a very bad neighborhood. Just a last question for you. When do these things get delivered? How do you know they're delivered? Why was it not shipped away? Is that how it... How does... Who comes for the delivery?
Oh, the mannequins. The mannequins take the pieces and they take the charts. And he points to a chart. Because you guys are standing here in the Michelle apartment. And there's a chart that's like maybe like in the middle, just like sitting in the very middle of the apartment, you know, with no walls.
Okay.
It's sitting there like on the floor very neatly in the middle. And there's a very intricate chart with all the way down to the centimeter.
Let me stop you right there. Let me just... And he goes... And he puts a finger on his lips. Says, I regret asking this question. Let's just move on.
You're sure?
Because yes.
This one's ready. We can get it going right now.
I don't even want to see it. No, I do not want to see mannequins. Thank you.
Okay.
Onward.
So speaking... But I will say, speaking as everyone is done this thing, like where they're all, you know, having... come to this conclusion that for the first time that you guys and Busiak are linked at the McAllister. Everyone roll me a sanity check real quick.
Yep. Well, that's an earned one.
Too many quests.
Fail.
And a success.
Okay. Busiak can take one.
Okay.
The other of you can take 4.
Ouch.
Put it in your side pile, unless you'd like
Jesus.
To deflect.
Oh.
I would like to deflect that.
Who do you have left?
I've got Hank and Busiak, thank you very much. Like,
Hank,
I have friends,
and
I'm with them right now.
All right. So you'll roll a d4, you will burn that much willpower, and you will get rid of that much sanity damage.
Got it.
Who are you deflecting on?
I'm deflecting on Hank because that out of character smiting of an old man was very, very disruptive to my sense
interesting.
Of him.
Okay.
Actions and consequences.
Actions and consequences. All right. Oh, here my keys are. That's
one more Ambrose. Thing before we move on, Ambrose.
You want to see another set? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I want to
see
the
cool
final
stuff
set.
In here.
The final scene.
The final scene. The final scene.
The Hank, you talking crazy.
Of course. The final scene.
The audio listeners might not be able to detect the smile on my face, but I assure you, it is there.
I mean, I don't think it's that out of character. I'm not just trying to give Joe
genius.
A hard time.
No,
and
no,
I don't. I know this is like an important
not.
Dude. I don't want to just like
this
off a dude.
Good
but
idea.
I think Hank would be pretty pissed to find something that's actually like blamable for all this nonsense.
I don't think this comes across as like an action out of anger. This is just like how fucking far into this you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're believing in the play innately by asking that question.
Right.
Oh, the final scene. Well, over here. This is about as final as it gets. This one over here.
And he takes you to, again, it's like the walls, quote-unquote, are like taped on the ground, like a set, you know, that's set up. And he's like, it is a bunch of big, heavy chairs. And just correspondingly big, heavy tables that seem to be very difficult to move. And there are, on one of the tables... is a setup of the game Connect 4. Thanks. And on another table are some cards, and there's some notebooks and stuff. And then over to the side, kind of pulled off by itself, is one of these old school, tall backed wooden wheelchairs. And it has a paper taped to the back, like where someone would sit, that says "Sunshine."
Oh.
Here we are. Yes.
That was the name of the dude from the mental hospital that couldn't talk. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
And we got really bad vibes from him.
And you guys were playing Connect Four.
Okay, I don't remember that part. Gotcha.
And you see that the Connect Four pieces are set up exactly like, it's like, if you didn't know better, you would say this was like how you left them.
Wow.
Wasn't there something else to Sunshine, though? Like, didn't we figure out sort of who he was or, like, his origin or something? There was something deeper that I can't remember.
Something about Sunshine that you guys were trying to figure out, like, who or what the deal with Sunshine was. And there was a bit where you guys had presented, I think Benji had gone, like, and gotten in Sunshine's face. Sunshine's mostly unresponsive, can't move much or say anything. Sunshine seemed to get quite agitated in some way about Benji.
And we had an unnerving sense of deja vu or dread.
Yes, there's like an existential dread that kind of surrounded Sunshine.
And didn't he write Out Is Through?
Out Is Through is what he wrote. Yeah, he was you guys were barely able to get that. That was a great success when it comes to the NPC Sunshine.
I'm going to type in anagram solver, and I'm going to type in sunshine. Let's see what happens. Scramble.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm just looking at some of the other notes that I put down around Sunshine. And next to it is King Bael, not a kitty, ?
Not a kitty.
The other main thing from that, so who's the name of the architect? Because we found an earlier version of him there.
Asa Darabondi
was there, but he was like, he was a little crazy and like younger looking. And then we had the guy that had like the weird mask on who wanted us to like tell our past or like our stories.
Mr. Wild.
He didn't have a mask, he had a false ear. He's like false all ear. Scarred and like
and he had stuff. A cat.
Yes. And that was the kitty.
They were taking these patients to a room and taking out whatever they called that, like
the
crap from their brain.
Patsu.
The Katsu. Patsu.
It's been a long game, guys. Jesus.
Sure has.
And we keep that was definitely one of the stranger. I think Hank seeing this is just like grips his fist tight, just white knuckles, and just like shakes his head because he's already been there and he doesn't know. I think he was maybe hoping to have like a one up. He's like, maybe he can like divert a similar situation if he gets into it, but he's already been here and he's just like I've seen enough. Like he's just like the futility of it.
Why don't you roll me a sanity check for you guys again?
Oh no.
All of us?
All of you.
Success for Hank.
Yeah, well, you know, Busiek wasn't at the Dorchester.
Okay, good point. Busiek doesn't have to roll this time. Fuck the other two of you.
I was with Benji at the time. Like, can I also get a pass?
The worst place you could be.
No,
roll two sanity checks.
No, you have to roll it as well.
Fine, I failed. Roll 1d4.
I'll roll it for you.
I got a 1.
How intriguing. That's the final scene, whatever that means.
Yeah, that is very revealing.
3 sanity damage. Put it in your special side pot unless you want to suppress it or whatever.
I'm really trying to avoid the side pot.
So how much you could show if you've succeeded?
3.
I'm gonna.
Oh, sorry. One if you succeed.
Succeed.
Deflect that, the Cindy.
How do you still have a bond with Cindy?
Okay, there's only 2 points left. Okay. it's pretty low.
And how are you deflecting on to Sandy at this point, Cindy?
How in what way am I? I don't know.
That's just fair. That's very fair. Who the fuck knows?
Who knows?
All right, okay. Joe, quick piece of mechanical stuff. So I decided to deflect. I rolled a 1d4. I got a 3. My willpower is at a 2, which is at an emotional breakdown point.
Don't worry about it, John.
Use willpower to deflect? What is that mechanic again?
Yes.
Yeah, you roll
when every
1d4.
Time you deflect.
Okay,
you,
just
you
1d4.
Have to use willpower. But bad. John, don't worry about it.
Or Jesus.
Willpower? Like, why worry about it, bud?
I feel like it is the most important part at this stage of the game.
I don't know about that.
Yep. It's
I
up there.
Not have burnt that willpower.
Okay.
So if we're... Are we, like, on the way? On the road?
You guys keep wanting to see new shit.
Yeah. So, well, I think Hank's seen enough. He's not gonna... It's all he can do to not hurt this elderly man.
Oh, man. Okay, so... he's like, well, I... Do you want to see any other cool setups? I'm really proud.
No.
There's one right next door. I'm really
That's
proud
good.
Of.
Thank you.
Absolutely not.
All right, your loss. That's some cool stuff over there in aisle 4.
Could we take a nap here? I know it's an odd question, Ambrose. But could we take a nap in one of these rooms? We're very tired.
Why not?
I hate Joe's face right now. Why are you smiling so much?
I don't like the way
he said
that.
Why not? You know what? You're right. Here. How about this one over here? I don't want to see any more.
No, I want to the ones that we've seen. We're good. Michelle's one.
You want to go back to the Michelle one?
God, you know what? Let's just move on. Let's just move on with this god-awful quest.
Listen,
I
could do some work. Like, I'm not kidding. You guys could. If you need to take a load off for a minute.
No.
Look, Benedict, this ain't no bed and breakfast here. This is some fucked up shit. ain't staying in Michelle's room.
That
is not
true. I have a bed and breakfast like 3 aisles down.
You know what, Hank? Go ahead and kill the old fucker.
Benedict, we don't want to miss this ball, and I don't want to spend any more time around this crazy old bag.
All right, well let's go on up to the orrery and let's get going, shall we?
Orrery.
Yeah.
Gold processing room.
No, that's. Oh wait, that was Dace talking, not Busiak. Anyway, no, it's not that. Let's go.
You guys head towards the end of this, and again, this is like a huge, huge room, you know, with all this stuff set up. But like, it has to be several football fields, like, size. You know, it's massive. You guys head down towards the very end, and it is the end where it looks like all of the rails of mannequins kind of terminates, like, into, like, a single rail. And kind of sitting, like... You see that down at the end, like where the right below this railing where all the mannequins are, there seems to be this huge open. It's a circular hole in the ground that has like stone stacked up around it, like a well almost. Like it kind of looks like that. And as you guys get near it, you see that there's a ladder kind of near it. A ladder that goes way, way up. It's a huge, long ladder that goes up to the ceiling. And that seems to be where Ambrose is going. And he's got some pep to his step, but, you know, he's still like an 80-year-old man kind of climbing this thing. And as you guys are standing here, like, waiting for him to kind of go up so that you can start going to follow him, and he indicates that you need to follow, you hear this mechanical sounds kind of echoing up from the bottom of this well. And as you guys are standing here, and as you guys begin to clamber up, whichever of you is the last, who's last, do we think, to go up?
I will be, because I have something that I want to ask him.
Okay. Busiek, just as you're about to, like, you're, like, mount, about to mount the ladder and start heading up behind these guys, you hear, like, in the distance, you hear, like, an industrial kind of siren sound, like, meh, meh, meh. And all of the mannequins, like, shift forward by, like, one space, kind of. Like, they all come forward a bit. And one of the mannequin that's on the rail, kind of near to where this well is, it slides down and swings momentarily before there's a mechanical click, and it just drops down and goes straight down inside this thing, just whoosh, and just falls down into the well. And again, like, you hear this, like, mechanical grinding kind of coming up from underneath it, kind of echoing up. What is it that Busiek needs to do?
By the way, Ambrose, you ever met a guy named Rich? Short, dark features?
I don't think so.
Richard?
No, I've got a few Dick? Richards back there, and he kind of points towards the workshop. I've got a few references back there. We could go back and look if you'd like.
No. Thanks. Thanks for the masks. I just thought I'd ask. Is this where we're headed?
Yeah.
Down this creepy-ass well?
Yep. Nope, we're going up the ladder, up to the roof.
That's much more preferable.
Yep, so you guys begin to clamber up the roof. Up to the roof, rather. And as you do, there gets to the top, and Ambrose, there's this all like a hatch, and he pushes it open, and you see, as you're coming up, that you see up, and you can see those that kind of star field of the sea kind of arrayed almost above you guys that you fell down from when you came through the lake. And up here it's windy. You can hear the wind just like whipping, and it's like it's really kind of intimidating, just how much. But Ambrose just kind of climbs up. He doesn't seem scared. And I would say to most likely to the combined confusion and probably a little bit of horror to all of you, there is some type of weird device up here that is best described as a combination between some type of weird merry-go-round and one of those, like, solar system orrery simulated things, right? Where there's, like, a center portion that seems to have some type of control panel in it, and there is a mixture of bizarre animals and celestial bodies arrayed around it. And as Ambrose, he's kind of clambering up, and you guys are coming up and looking at this thing, you hear this mechanical, like, ching, 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 and you see up from the side of the building, climbing very quickly like some type of weird spider, is this clockwork child that leaps over the side and then kind of like quickly turns, like gets back on 2 feet and kind of toddles after Ambrose as he heads towards this device.
Here we go. Careful, don't get too close to the edge. It's windy.
Hank will do alertness, just the surrounding area.
Tell me what you got.
This.
You look around. There is something that is odd, is that there apparently is a large, modern-looking air conditioner unit on top of this thing, which, again, just like the combination of times and places that are in this place is just like... it's just, like, too much to handle. Like, it's just so much bizarre shit. Especially everything that you guys have just went through downstairs. But you're looking at this thing, and you see Ambrose is, like, getting... he, like, has to kind of, like... he's quite short, man. He's probably about, like, almost, like, maybe, like, 5'4 or something. He's quite small. He has to kind of, like, clamber up to get onto the deck of this thing. And imagine it being very much laid out kind of like a carousel. And he kind of opens up this little small door... and goes and stands in the middle section, the kind of axle of this round thing. He's like, come on in. You'll wanna take one of the places, one of the seats around the outside. And you see that indeed, very much like a carousel, both the celestial bodies and the strange animals. We're talking things that are weirder than hippogriffs and, you know, and like the, like, you know, like strange, like combination chimera creatures, you know, of like antiquity, like weirder and more bizarre than that. And each of them has a fairly intense looking harness that a person can obviously attach themselves to either one of these celestial bodies. Maybe like there's like a little moon, looks like a moon, and it has a little door that you open up, kind of like the teacup ride at Disney World, but then again has like a really kind of distressingly extensive strapping system.
Is there a teacup
in this thing?
Is there a teacup? Benedict scans for a teacup.
There are no teacups.
What are the chances that I could get a weird body or a celestial animal?
None. Zero. Zero. Right.
I deserve
what
that.
What are you talking about? You as in...
The descriptor was celestial bodies and weird animals.
So he wants,
it sounds like that's
a
all there is. So you
and
could
a celestial animal.
Yeah. Oh, both.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. He's like, go ahead. And you'll want to strap in the red one goes across your waist. You know, and sure enough, the straps on most of these things have, there's like a red strap. You know, that kind of like goes, you know, it looks like it goes across your waist. Like, what do you guys do? What do you guys want to do?
Ambrose, I think we'll find like anything that looks similar to like a horse, I guess. Something with four legs and hop up on one.
You find like a six-legged, mighty-looking horse that has some type of like compound bug eyes.
They're like Odin's horse with six legs. Whatever you call that. Yeah, cool.
Do these all go to the same place, Ambrose?
Yes!
And that's where we're going to get our invitations.
Yep, we're going to the gallery.
And not going to get killed along the way.
I most likely not.
I hate that answer. Yep.
It's about as good as you can get in this place. And Busiek climbs upon a... what's the most normal thing there?
There appears to be some type of weird bear. But it's like,
great.
But it's like bald, like a weird hairless bear.
Oh,
almost.
Oh no!
Have you seen a hairless bear?
Yes.
Oh, they're terrifying.
They're terrifying.
Like, oh, the bear from. Oh no.
Skull bear.
Well, at least it's familiar. I'll take skull bear.
Benedict will go on a celestial body, maybe something that looks like the moon. Is the moon around?
Yeah, there appears to be a moon. It's hard to say if it's our moon or not. This one, though, up on the dark side of the moon seems to have a weird space base kind of
yes.
built onto it.
I want that one.
So you're not sure what to make about that. But you guys get in, and Ambrose, he's like, all right, everyone's strapped in. Please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times. And he starts turning like a gear, and you hear like a whirring that as he turns it, and after a while he lets go and the whirring keeps going. He starts hitting and right before he like kind of like hits the button to go, he comes and gives you, he's like, oh, you'll need these, and he gives each of you a pair of goggles, like old school like aviator goggles. He's like, you will want to put those on. And he goes into the middle and starts pulling levers and hitting buttons as this whole contraption begins to spin and whine. You guys aren't going up and down like a carousel, like you're staying static, but after just like probably 20 seconds or so, you guys start realizing that you are moving, you are spinning way too fast, like, and you're starting to now maybe even appreciate how hefty these harnesses are that are holding you onto your chosen mounts. But it starts to go, the machine starts to clang and rattle in unhealthy and uncomforting ways as it starts to spin so quickly that the world around you is completely lost to you. It's just a blur of colors. And you can hear Ambrose, you can't tell if he's shouting, you can maybe tell that the Clockwork Child is also working with him to pull levers and hitting buttons, and you can't tell if he's yelling at the child, yelling at you, or if he's laughing. You just don't know. As this thing continues to spin up, Hank pulls out his pistol and
wildly fires.
Major Willy Wonka vibes. We're in the creepy tunnel. He's like, "There's no knowing where we're rowing."
And you guys, and after a while, it gets to the point where actually I need all three of you to roll me Constitution checks, as just the G forces. Sucking the blood away from your brain.
Failure by one.
Failure by one.
Oh, I'm looking at
success
the
wrong one. For Busiek.
Busiek holds it together.
Wait, hold but up. That's athletics. I'm going to call it.
Wait, what? He rolled the wrong thing?
He rolled the wrong thing. You're going to vomit with us, Busiek.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. What was I supposed to roll?
Constitution.
Oh, I don't know how I misheard that.
Son of a bitch.
I thought it was like a core strength challenge. I don't know.
Abs, roll abs,
bastard.
You guys, and as you guys are going, so the two of you, like, at some point in time, you kind of, like, you know, you see those, like, people in fighter jets when they pass out, and they're just kind of like,
oh, yeah.
You know, you two kind of go down, and you guys are a little bit older, you know, so maybe it's that, you know. But Busiek, you actually watch as one of these bizarre creatures that's directly in front of you, it actually rattles loose and just flies out of the vehicle. Just,
oh,
and it's
fuck.
Gone.
It's like a tornado.
And you're watching these two, and you can see Benedict up ahead of you, and his celestial body is just jerking and seems like it might fall off, and he's just kind of loosely attached to it. And then you hear an ear-piercing screech as Busiek, you are thrown forward on the vehicle, on your weird hairless bear thing, as the velocity is suddenly halted and it's just like, scree! As you guys come to a halt. Everyone give me sanity checks, please. Wait, scratch that. Everyone who's not adapted to helplessness, give me a sanity check. I believe that would only be Busiek.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Busiek,
right.
Give me a sanity check. The other two of you both take one sanity damage. Please put it in your side pile.
That's interesting. Fumble.
Ooh.
100.
That's an automatic full sanity damage from the helplessness of the situation. 4.
Ouch.
Okay, so I'll put that in this temporary pile, I guess.
Yep, going in the side pile.
Does that give me a check towards adapted to helplessness?
No.
That's only when I break?
Not in this situation. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You guys come, this whole thing comes to a halt, and you two kind of come back to, you know, as you kind of, you blacked out there, and you're groggy and looking around, and as everything kind of gung, like kind of comes to a halt, the two of you are too busy vomiting to really realize what Busiek does as he looks around, which is that you are no longer on the rooftops, the star field of the lake, the sea, the whatever above you is gone. No, you are inside some type of huge museum. It has that feel, grand, tall ceiling, columns, beautiful, like marble floors, everything covered with a fine layer of dust. And Ambrose takes off his own goggles and kind of pats the machine panel in front of him and goes, "Magnificent machine."
Now I'm picturing him as like Billy Crystal from Princess Bride or something.
He goes, "Here we are, the Gallery of Shades." And at that, it's probably a good place for us to stop for this one.
Nice.
Very, very nice. Well done, Joe.
take notes, everybody out there. That's how you reuse a set piece that your PCs didn't interact with the first time.
What?
Oh, he's implying.
Are you not doing that?
He is implying we should have gotten on the Karis wheel.
No, I'm not.
Docs.
No, that's it's just a coincidence on that one, genuinely. But
that was nice.
Neither here nor there.
Very well
guys,
done.
Guys, cool. Thank you very much. Yep. A lot of sanity damage.
Very cool, very creepy. Yeah. Busiak's up to 9 temporary now.
Yeah, that was painful.
Or, that little pile.
Ankh's up to 11.
Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. This is we are getting towards that end. And I'm excited to see what these guys do as they try to find their invitation. See if they get into this damn ball. Thank you so much for joining us. Our wonderful, if you want to get the episodes a week early, you want to get the sanity checks, you know where to go. It's linked, the Patreon, wherever we are, wherever you're listening. It's linked there somewhere. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
I got you. That's fun.
And shout out to Nathan's podcast also.
Yeah, RPG Reanimators. I hope we get to talk to them. That'd be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to see about that. No promises. We're just kind of checking things out. But yeah, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. And as always, we will catch you next time. And remember, stay safe, stay sane. Bye.
Bye-bye.